Indigenous people across Canada are holding protest rallies as the country marks the 150th anniversary of the Confederation. Many First Nations groups and their leaders boycotted Canada Day, dubbing it as a reminder of the cruel colonial legacy and the oppression of the Aboriginal people. Earlier, Indigenous rights group Idle No More also called for a National Day of Action. Echoing the call, protesters marched through Canada's largest city, Toronto, carrying red flags with some holding the national flag upside down. Activists also erected a tent on Parliament Hill in the capital, Ottawa, where Prime Minister Justin Trudeau officially kicked off the ceremonies on Saturday. Trudeau, accompanied by Britain's Prince Charles, shook hands with some of the thousands of revelers there. July 1st marks the anniversary of the day Canada officially became a country. Britain ruled it before 1867. For more on this issue, let's bring in Edward Corrigan out of Toronto. He's an international human rights lawyer. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Corrigan. So 150 years have gone by since the enactment of the Constitution in Canada, or since Canada became a country. Why are the Indigenous people of Canada still so discontent?
The impression that, you know, our, I guess, conquest of North America and Canada was much more benign than, let's say, the Americans. But there was a lot of terrible things that were done. There was natives, communities in Newfoundland, elsewhere, that were basically exterminated. We have, you know, I guess there's remnants of a once thriving, you know, native population that was here. But a lot of them died from diseases that were introduced from Europe, and they had no immunity. Many people were killed. There was, you know, especially in the States, they were really quite brutal. You know, you hear about all these massacres, about the March of Tears, the, you know, various things. But this all went on. And interesting enough, the story has gotten some coverage in Australia, where they have the same problem, where they basically, you know, essentially conquered the continent, and, you know, one time had bounties on the Aboriginal natives of the area to kill them all off. Of course, this is terrible, but they are coming back. So while the natives, it's very important that they remind the mainstream community, under the previous conservative government, there was, like, you know, total deafness with regard to the rights of the natives, and Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch had issued devastating critiques. The United Nations Committee on Human Rights also was very strong in its criticism of government of Canada. Now, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has made a lot more conciliatory talks. He's met with Indigenous leaders. The protest up in Ottawa, he went in and met with them for, I think, 40 minutes and talked to them about their concerns. So, yes, there's lip service being given to the rights of the natives, and people who are knowledgeable and informed, academics, human rights lawyers like myself, were painfully aware of what had happened. And there's a lot of soul searching going on. There was a residential school set up by the governments and by the churches, basically designed to have sort of a cultural genocide of the natives and have forbid them from speaking their own native language, to learn French or English, and basically to assimilate to the dominant, you know, white European culture. This was terrible, ripped families apart. You know, I've seen reports saying that an estimated 25% of the Native Indians died through these schools. And now we're going through a, you know, a heartfelt process where the residential schools, we recognize that there was a lot of terrible things done, and there's, you know, payments, and there's sort of a, you know, a commission that's investigating it. But this is many years afterwards. And I think part of, well, there's various aspects of this problem, but one of the things is, you know, we give lip service, we give them some sort of protection, some money, partly to just keep them quiet and pacified. Other times it provides some assistance. But whenever there's something serious that involved, where they want to build a pipeline through native lands, or they want to, all of a sudden we give them land that we thought was useless, and all of a sudden it turns out there's a site of uranium, we tend to push them off. And, you know, we have a very, our business community and multinational corporations tend to be very, you know, not concerned about native rights. The province of Ontario just gave, I think it was $45 million, something like that, to clean up some of the rivers that in Ontario that have been heavily contaminated by mercury. And of course, the natives use this for their drinking water, for their food. And as a result, we have, you know, huge horrific, problems with the natives, but mercury poisoning, you know, birth defects and stuff. The company gets charged, it goes bankrupt. So there's nothing there for the company where they make all the money, and then they don't really care about the environment. And then, you know, 25, 30 years later, this all comes forward and the company just says bankrupt, they got no money, and that they made the money, but they didn't put anything aside for the environmental damage that they've done. So recently the province of Ontario has coughed up some money, which is a good step, but we should not be having these problems or trying to fix them after the fact.
Right. Mr. Corrigan, if I may, you mentioned the Prime Minister, Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, during his 2015 election campaign. He said he'd respect the rights of Aboriginal Canadians. How's this situation, the protests that are taking place right now, how's that boding for him?
Well, there was 500,000 people supposedly came out to the celebrations in Ottawa. You probably had, you know, maybe 100 Native protesters that he gave, you know, some attention to. So, you know, from a political or from a democratic point of view, the Natives, especially in Eastern Canada, have very little power and they don't know how to use it. They can do the odd, you know, public relations event like we see up in Ottawa and what we saw in Toronto, where the federal minister for Natives and Indigenous Peoples, she was hosting a party and 100 people came in and sort of disrupted things. But, you know, they must be much more, I guess, you know, attentive and provide, you know, real meaningful solutions to a lot of the problems. Like, you know, there's horrific problems with the water supply in many reserves. There is, you know, rampant alcoholism, people sniffing gas. You know, we've essentially more or less destroyed their culture and the things that anchor the society. And we've given them, you know, sort of, you know, social assistance or welfare, alcohol, smoking, drugs, and sniffing gasoline in exchange. So, you know, there's a very serious problem. I think the government has to do a lot, but I think the natives also have to have, you know, to ante up and accept some responsibility for their problems. But it's got to be a joint federal, provincial government, and of course the natives and even the local governments to solve this problem. Part of the problem is that, you know, that they want education in schools. Well, in our country, the provinces are the ones that look after the education system. So there's a conflict between the federal government, the provincial government, even municipal governments. But they need to resolve that, and the federal government needs to, you know, to go in and seriously address these issues. They're making progress, but it's slow and it's painful. And of course, in many places, like for example in British Columbia, there's, you know, a huge Native population. There are, most of them have not made treaty arrangements with the either the federal or provincial governments, and so they're without treaty status, and, you know, their environment, fishing, logging, mining, you know, putting through pipelines from Alberta through their native lands and lands that have not been ceded, creates a huge conflict. Saskatchewan has a huge Native population. In fact, in the not too distant future, the natives in Saskatchewan are probably going to be the majority. And they could maybe turn that into a real political vehicle that they could assert their rights in the province of Ontario and also with the province of Saskatchewan, but also with the federal government.
For years,
lot of the natives just sort of boycotted the elections and thought that was their protest, but it's not really an effective way to respond.
Thank you very much, Edward Corrigan out of Toronto. He's an international human rights lawyer.